Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 45th verse. The parable of the pearl of great value, which I will read shortly. We all tend to filter everything through our own life experiences, through our own agenda, through our own way of thinking. This can be even true when we are reading the scripture. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise. The Holy Spirit said through the prophet Isaiah, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." He chided the children of Israel for their hardness of heart. And I think of this problem in particular in the context of this parable, since I've heard some rather interesting interpretations defending the idea that we should be seeking out God, that we are the ones who choose God. That, however, doesn't fit very well with what Jesus said. "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Let me read the parable. Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went out and sold all that he had and bought it." We all know that it's characteristic of a story that it has a hero. In this story, we can break down the hero's action into four main points. First, the hero is looking for something of great value. Second, the hero finds that treasure. Third, the hero sells all he has. And fourth, the hero buys the treasure. So that was easy. The storyline is very straightforward. But now we want to think about the characters, because it tells us a lot about our theology. If we cast ourselves as the merchant, well, we're in trouble right from the beginning. Let's take a step back and look at ourselves. When do we ever search for anything good? For God. For that matter, what do we search for? And how easily do we compromise our goals? I've heard many sermons that said this parable means that I should be searching for God somewhere. And that once I found him, to give everything I have to lay hold of him. The truth is that you and I are way too fickle for that. We are too weak for that. When we search, it's always what seems to be the most urgent thing, and that changes by instant. And then we often just settle for what we can get, whatever seems okay for now, whatever seems okay until something better pops up. And we always compromise. Chips or popcorn? Horsepower or fuel economy? A better salary or job security? We always compromise. So when have we ever taken time to search out the kingdom of heaven? And would we recognize it if we found it? We should, as Paul wrote, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made, so they are without excuse." We see the works of God every day. He is clearly evident. But we have become so used to the way that God cares for us, provides for us, protects us, that we hardly notice anymore. We think we're doing it ourselves. Our normal daily life has numbed us to the point that we hardly see God at all, that we hardly realize that He is the one who sustains us moment by moment. Face us. We live in a miracle, and we're hardly aware of it. So, if we did wake up to that genuine reality, if we did somehow stumble across the kingdom, there is the question of selling everything we have. What do you have that God needs? Nothing. Nothing at all. I know that you know this, but here again, we don't have the resources to gain heaven on our own. Period. There is nothing we have. There is nothing we can do. So this parable cannot be about us as the merchant, nor the kingdom of heaven as that treasure. The story is much, much better than that. The treasure, that is you. Are you having trouble thinking of yourself as a pearl of great value? You are. Didn't we just confess that we are poor, pitiful sinners? Didn't I just describe some of the reasons that we are so inept at searching for the kingdom of heaven, even of desiring our God's love for us? That is all true. And that is why you cost so much. Remember how I described how easily we are distracted and compromised? Our merchant in search of fine pearls is not distracted at all. The hero in this story is Jesus, and He has proven that nothing could stop Him in His quest to save us, the people that He loves. And He can't be tricked. No, He is the subject matter expert. He knows what He is looking for. And He knows a treasure when He sees it. Oh. He knows you better than He knows than you know yourself. He knows your beauty. And He knows your flaws. Yes, He knows your flaws because He suffered for them when He hung on the cross. And still, He loves you. More than a mother loves her child, more than any human could love. Oh. Did you know how it says that one pearl of great value? That was deliberate. And while this is about all humanity, the point right now is that this parable is about you. About each of you. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he had lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in open country and go after the one that is lost until it is found? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. From the very beginning, before you were born, He knows you, and He is determined to get you home, to be with Him, where you belong. And He knows the urgency, too. And as I said before, He knows the cost. He knows the cost of saving you. But you know what's true too? He also knows the cost of losing you. The text reads, He went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Which doesn't sound that bad until you realize that the cost of this particular treasure is death. Death on a cross. We once turned our back on our Savior in order to free him, to be free of him, to live and ultimately to die on our own. And sin, that turning in on ourself, wants to consume us. It wants to take us to the grave and on to everlasting punishment. And it will, unless the price is paid. Unless pure blood is shed. And it has been. For Jesus put aside his place at the right hand of God, the Father, and went from being everywhere at once in that glory to the dark of Mary's womb. Then he was born, lived a sinless life, the one we were supposed to have lived, that we were intended for. And finally, he was nailed to a cross. There, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can repent and live in him. He sold all that he had and bought it, bought you, bought me. The price has been paid. As we hear this morning, with our aches, our pains, our distractions, our fears, it can be hard to feel like we are the loved ones, the ones that are cared for, that we are being prepared for the wedding. But it is true. We are the bride of Christ. He sought us out, and when we were at our worst, he came to rescue us, even at the extreme price of dying for us. Dying on a cross. He has purchased you. You, the pearl of great value. And he is coming. He is coming back to take you home. Amen.
Amen.